Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve God with you this morning. Hope you'll be continuing in prayer. I want to speak on the fountain filled with blood. We're going to take the Lord's Supper this afternoon. Before I do, I want to make a few comments to some things I thought about this week. I was reading something, and it just took my breath away. Because I know I'm a great sinner, and I know you are too. But this man was talking about God's children are the bride of Christ. He made a statement that really just, I know it's true, but I caught it in a new way. He, we're a fit bride for our husband. Isn't that amazing? I just really got me. I'm a fit bride for my husband. I'm a fit bride for Jesus Christ because he's made me fit. And, you know, the Lord loves us. That's a, you know, really the redemption is really a love story, what it really is. We know that marriage is a picture between, it's a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, which is the elect in this particular situation, the church called the elect there. So he loved us before the world began. And I had another thing that happened not too long ago that kind of got me also. I fell in love with my wife a long time ago. She was just really a kid when I fell in love with her. But I fell in love with her. And so I got to thinking before the world began, Jesus Christ fell in love with me. He said he'll love on me. He's affectionate. Not only did he love us, He likes us. He delights in us because he washed our sins away. That's what this is all about washing our sins away. So I'll read you a couple of, hope you can relay home what I'm saying to you now and rejoice in that. I want to go to Psalm 45 for just a minute and show you some beautiful verses, two beautiful verses. Do you love Jesus Christ? If you do, he loved you first. He loved you, but he's always loved you. He said, I have loved thee. The everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness, how I've drawn thee. See, we're really a love gift from God the Father to the Son. He gave us to the Son. I can show that to you in the scripture. I won't right now turn there, but we're a love gift. But there's a stipulation. He had to die for us. See, if a husband loved his wife, he'd be willing to die for her, we men. And Jesus Christ loved his bride enough, I'll die for her. I'll pay for her sins. It was a gift, but the stipulation was you got to wash their sins away. And so he did that. So he went to Calvary to the greatest act of love that's ever been. When you lay hold on that. So over in Psalm 45, this is really a love story, really. It's kind of a royal wedding is what it is. So I'll read you two verses. Now this is, the she is us, we're the bride. So shall the king greatly desire her, thy beauty. He is thy Lord and worship thou him. Isn't that something he greatly desires our beauty? You know, what I said something about the Holy Spirit a while ago. Every time we feel the Holy Spirit, it's just kind of that's like looking at our engagement ring. It's just a small taste will be like in glory. Because the Lord is waiting that wonderful marriage Supper of the Lamb. Oh, what an occasion that'll be. What an occasion. We can't imagine that. So he greatly desired our beauty. How about that? I'm not pretty. Yeah, you are. You're beautiful to him because he washed your sins away. So you're justified. Right now, even legally, there's no guilt. We still have sin and we're not glorified yet, but we are justified. And Paul said plainly there in Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means there's no guilt. Isn't that amazing? So our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin shall live in righteousness. Whose stripes you are healed. My friend, this is the true story. It's too good to be true, but it is true. So then down in verse 13, here's how pretty you really are to God. That's the truth. You're beautiful to the Lord this morning. He looks down upon you because he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely astounding to me. I'm glad God gave me a fresh view of that this week. So I want to talk on there's a fountain filled with blood. I'm going to read the song first of all. One of my favorite songs. William Cooper wrote it. He was John Newton's buddy. And he was a man who given to melancholy. He almost was suicidal. It's amazing, his emotional state. But he wrote some great songs. He was a great Christian. And so he wrote this song. But it got a lot of truth into it. By the way, I heard a sermon one time at Kyville Primitive Baptist Church many years ago, and one of my favorite preachers, a man who was in my ordination, was Brother Norman Cooper. He's a great preacher. He's an exciting preacher. First time I heard him, I just caught on fire, just electrified me. So I wanted him to come to my ordination. And so Cooper one time was at Kyville Church, and the Holy Spirit was there. I guess the only one I can say it so thick he could cut it with a knife. It's an amazing experience. And he preached a sermon he called God's Washing Machine, based on Titus 3:5, by the washing of regeneration, deal with the Holy Ghost. And he said, brethren, when you're washing God's washing machine, you don't only come out clean, you come out new. And people were shouting all over the house. I hadn't heard him shouting in a long time. But I tell you, there's such a great sermon. When we went back later to the fellowship hall to eat, people were just kind of quiet. And they just looked at you and started crying. God's washing machine. In the blood of Christ. You know what? You talk about a detergent, man. Ain't no detergent like the blood of Christ. Why the snow? Why the snow? You know, Casey one time, old Clyde Casey, you remember him being a good old member here for a while? He told me he had a dream one night. So, Brother Zach, said, you know what white looks like. You know what you think you're saying white, you know what it looks like. Friend, we don't know what white looks like either. That robe of righteousness that we're clothed with, it's amazing. Let's look at this wonderful song, just read it, and I'm going to preach about this. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Those were real veins from a real human being, the God-man. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, as sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. You don't lose your stains? I sure do. Well, I've been plunged in the blood to lose all our guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. I hope that blood was shed for me, washed my sins away. That dying thief, isn't that amazing? You remember that wonderful experience. Two thieves there that Christ was crucified between. If you'll compare the Gospels, at one time both of them were blaspheming Christ. Then something happened to one of them. You know what happened to him? He got born again. You see, my friends, God will cause every one of the elect to be born again sometime between their conception and their death. He can, after conception, like he did John the Baptist, who leaped for joy in his mother's womb. That joy was the joy of the Holy Spirit when Mary came to Christ, when she was carrying Christ. So God can cause a person to be born again in their mother's womb. David said in Psalm 22, I made a hope on my mother's breast. I'm glad you bring your children to church. You never know when God called them to be born again. They need to be in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit and under the sound of the gospel all the time. I'm glad of that, aren't you? So anyway, that thief, though, changed. Isn't it amazing? And I tell you, when you get born again, there's a change. There's a change. Are you listening to me? There's a radical change. He didn't have long. He had been a thief and a murderer. And he blasphemed Christ, and suddenly he starts looking at this man. He learned a lot, because he looked at Jesus Christ, who had that face torn up by the pulling the beard out, according to Isaiah 50, verse 6. Black eyes, no doubt, where they smote him. Maybe spit on him, where they spit on him. The crown of thorns, where the back of your skull, all that blood running down there, maybe clotting by now. That he was impaled on that cross, his precious hands and feet nailed to that cross. He looked over and called him Lord. Isn't that amazing? Lord, he said. Isn't that amazing? When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And here's the sweetest word anybody's ever heard. Probably sweeter than to him than almost anybody because of what he'd gone through, the circumstances. Verily, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I bet he quit hurting almost, don't you imagine? He was crucified, a terrible way to die. He heard that. My friend, when you hear that, it'll help your pains too. You have emotional pains, don't you? Some of you do. I know you do. Some of you have physical pains. But if you keep your mind on that, it doesn't hurt quite so bad. And those pains won't last forever anyway. Because someday they'll all be gone. Because Revelation 21 says, I wipe away all tears. You're crying sometimes. Sandra's still crying about will be for a long time. Probably till she dies. Old Lanny Aldrich, a friend of mine out in Texas, just gave his wife up. I sent him a text that Jesus wept. He said, well, I'm weeping too. But my friend, someday the Lord will wipe those tears away. But see, God is just God. He can't just sweep sin under the rug. I can do that. Say, if John offends me, I say, John, just forget it. Christ can't say forget it, because he's God. And to his justice has to be satisfied. So if I'm guilty, he can't sweep sin under the rug. So what do? He removes the sin, because it's placed on him on Calvary. And it's gone. You know, when he said it's finished, he meant that, didn't he? It's, the works of redemption is finished. I paid the price. The Father accepted that price, and the proof is he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't that amazing? He's raised for our justification. So that the dying thief rejoiced to see that found in his day. I hope that blood was shed for me and washed my sins away. Dear dying lamb, I love this song, every word. He's the lamb, isn't he? He's the lamb. He's the shepherd and the lamb. He's everything in the Bible. He's got so many different ways to describe him. He's a lamb without blemish, without spot. I used to not like Leviticus much. It's kind of a technical book. But I fell in love with the book of Leviticus because everything in there pictures Jesus Christ. And the lamb, if you read Leviticus again, if you have a little trouble with it, say, it's kind of tedious, look for every time it said without blemish. Without blemish. You'll be amazed because Christ had no blemish. You remember what they'd take out there, that Passover lamb that tied up for a few days. You know why they did that? To examine it. Make sure there's no blemish. And so, my friend, there's no blemish on Jesus Christ. They tried to find fault, they couldn't find any. His enemies were always trying to find fault. Even Pilate, that Roman governor, said, three times Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And I'll tell you where the real test was. Those men who lived with him for 3 years in an intimate way, his disciples, they knew his inner, they knew his intimate life. They were his big buddies all the day. They found no fault. They were ready to follow him to the death after his resurrection. So he's without blemish. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood. That's almost an understatement, isn't it? Precious blood. It's precious. I guess you ought to holler that out, put it in capitals and underline that and put it in bold. Don't you think so? The precious blood of Christ. You're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, the lamb without blemish, without spot. That's the most precious substance there's ever been, the blood of Jesus Christ, dripping down from the cross. Dear dying man, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. My friend, it has not lost its power to this day. We sing the song sometimes, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonder working power in the blood. That's not even a practical one in your life. I'll talk about that a little bit later. That blood's going to give you the strength you need to go through what you go through. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all be ransomed. I love every, old Capra wrote a good song to me, ransom. Don't you like the word ransom? See, we were like the slave market of sin, and we were ransomed by the blood of Christ. The word redemption and ransom are closely akin words. You got to excuse me, keep wiping my nose here. I don't like to cry, but sometimes I can't help it. Ransomed. I love that word. I like to roll it under my tongue. Get these theological words and roll them under your tongues. Sometimes trying to go to sleep. Ransom. I'm ransomed. I'm a purchased possession, the Bible says. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought by Jesus Christ. How's that going to affect the way you live this week? You're not your own. You're bought with price. Therefore, glorify God. Your bodies, your spirits, which belong to God. I belong to him. Let's yield ourselves more to him. And more in our lives, we grow older and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I want my will. We all do. But I want to learn to surrender to God more. I love the song, I surrender all. I surrender all. I want to surrender to God more and submit myself to him. Lord, at your disposal, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to will? Let me ask you a question. How much are you in the kingdom today? Let me ask you a question. I thought about this week about my own self. How much do you say you're in there about serving God? 100%? 75%? So maybe 50%? Come on now. I may be getting some 35%. Betty in there. Brethren, he deserves our all. He deserves our all. I'll read you something in the Lord's Supper this afternoon, and hopefully that Bobby Poe wrote about that. My friend, this blood of Jesus Christ ought to motivate our lives to totally surrender ourselves to him and give ourselves to him. I want to do better in my life than I have. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. I love this verse 4, probably my favorite verse. Because I need to live under the shadow of the cross. You do too. We need to live under the shadow of the cross. This world, you got a lot of attractions, doesn't it? You got lots of attractions. And we get distracted. We know we do. We're sinners. Even after we're born again, we still have our sinful nature. Lots of things kind of get our mind off the Lord. We need to learn how to live under the shadow of the cross. That's the best way to avoid sin. Live under the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. So I love this verse 4. Ever since by faith, and we do it by faith. Not till faith is a gift of God. I didn't mention it's a gift of God. Listen, if you're born again, you've got the gift of faith. That's eternal life in you. If you enjoy the Bible, you've got faith. If you like church, you got faith. That's a divine gift that God gave you. It's a free gift of God Almighty. You can't just reach out and get it. Some people say, have faith. What do you mean have faith? You can't have something you haven't got. For by grace are you saved. You got that grace through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. And my friend, your faith will never fail. I want to encourage you in that. You may falter, but you'll never fail. You know how you won't fail? Christ prayed for you right now. Adam says, and he's right about that, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints of God, even at this present time. He's at God's right hand making intercession for us. And so let me tell you what he did to Peter. You know, Peter was trying to walk in his own strength like we do. You try to walk in your own strength sometimes, and God sometimes had to pull the rug out from under us, let us know how weak we really are, having to depend on him. So here Peter is, I'll go to the death with you. And he was brave. He was very brave. That big thing he did, he threw that sword out and cut that high priest servant's ear off. I mean, that a big crowd there. He fixed to get killed, he knew it, but he didn't care. But brother, when he was on his own, see, I'll never let you down. The Lord said, Peter, before the night's over, you'll deny me 3 times. So we can't go on our own strength. We got to go on the faith that God gives us. But here's what Jesus did, though. Peter made a comeback, and you'll make a comeback too. If you're down right now, if you're one of God's children, you'll make a comeback. I want to encourage you. You'll make a comeback. The devil put his foot on your neck and say, you can't come back. You'll make a comeback. Look to the Lord and ask him to help you, my friends. Because here's what the Lord said. It says, Peter, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. He's really going to work you over. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Then he didn't say if, he said when. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he did. The man who had the honor of preaching the sermon of the day of Pentecost, leading the way with the apostle Peter. The one who denied the Lord in an aggravated fashion 3 times when Jesus Christ in his greatest time of need, Peter deserted him. But God gave him repentance. He went out and wept bitterly, and God put him back on the firing line, and God will do you that way too. My friend, I don't care how down you are right now. I don't care what kind of trouble you have right now. You can make a comeback and will through the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed for you. Aren't you glad of that? Nobody prayed for me. Yeah, Jesus is praying for you. That's the one that really counts, isn't it? Ever since by faith, I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply. Get this. Redeeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. What's your theme today? What, is it money? Is it a job? That's good to have a job. It's good to have money. Is it prestige? Is it a career? What is it? What's the theme of your life? I'm glad I was raised in a godly home. My mother and daddy, my friend, that's one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me, was give me a godly mother and daddy. I knew what the theme of their life was. It was serving God was the theme of their life. My daddy had to work hard. He was a traveling salesman. He had to work awful hard. And my mother was a very hardworking woman, a wonderful keeper at home. My friend, we had a wonderful life. But I tell you, if anybody asked my sister still alive and my brethren who's gone, if he were still here, what was the most important thing in your life? What was the theme of your parents' life? They would say, serving the living God. I thank God for that. Can your kids say that about you? I hope they can. My friends, what's the theme of our lives? Ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love, redeeming love, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And then I get kind of choked up on verse 5 because I know I'm not a good speaker. It's my own cotton-picking fault. I've been trying to do better for 55 years. Y'all pray for me. Maybe if I live a little longer I get better. I don't know. But I know I've got a lisping, stammering tongue. So when I read this, I get touched by this. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, the noble Twitter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Isn't that wonderful? I love that song, don't y'all? All right, let me talk about it a little bit and read a few scriptures. Let's read about the fountain. I've got a few scriptures on the blood and on the fountain. So I'll just read these. Hope the Holy Spirit will make an application to you and they'll be a blessing to you. Zechariah 13:1, a great prophecy of our precious Savior. Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You say that's just to the Jews. No, it's not just to the Jews. It's to the spiritual Israel also. Ultimately, my friend, natural Israel or a type and shadow of spiritual Israel. I can show thee that. I won't take time to do that. That'd be another sermon. You are a spiritual Jew, my friend. According to the Galatian letter, if you're one of God's children, you're a son of Abraham in a real sense, not in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense. This scripture belongs to you. Let me read it to you again. In that day, there shall be a fountain open. My friend, that fountain was open on Calvary. To the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For sin and uncleanness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, 38, which will be in this afternoon. One of our brethren will read this to us. Matthew 26, 28. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples on that last night. The Lord's Supper is so important. Right before he went to death, he wanted to have this last supper with great desire. Have I desire to eat this supper with you? This is over Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. You think your sins have been remitted? Yes, they have. Listen, that's not potential. See, some people teach he died the sins of everybody, but it was not effective for everybody because they didn't do their part. My friend, listen, Christ was not a potential savior. He's an actual savior. He got what he paid for. Every individual he died for shall be saved. That's just the way it goes. Remission of sins. Those sins have been remitted. He came to seek and to save which is lost. Do you think he got that? Yes, he did. Everyone that he wanted to get, he got them. He came, my friend, Jesus Christ's mission was not a would-be mission, not a hopeful mission, it's a successful mission. You need to never be ashamed of that. Preach that, my friend, to the rooftops as long as this world lasts. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Lord, the Apostle Paul, taking a leave of these precious brethren that he loved so much, the preachers down in Ephesus down here. Take heed, this is Acts 20, 28, great scripture. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, to all the church, the flock of God, for all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and the Lord does that. Aren't you glad that God gives us overseers? My friend, we have a real overseer. I believe you got some here at Grace Chapel. This is a great blessing. I'm not saying because I'm a great blessing, but the overseers, God gives the church overseers, bishops, to overlook them, help them out, pastor them. I'm doing a great job, my friend. Nathan's doing a good job. I'm doing the best I can. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, all the flock. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. It's a supernatural thing. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I love to see Isaac study of that study, my friend. Every time I can't hardly get with him sometimes. He's in there on the phone studying with somebody, or he's studying that Bible to feed your soul, my friend. Thank God for that. That sheep food, that good old sheep food is good for us, isn't it? We're old sheep. He got some lamb food and sheep food both. To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. He got what he paid for. He purchased with his own blood. All right, let's go another one here. Hebrews, all these are my favorites, by the way. I keep saying they're my favorite. All of them are my favorite. You can't beat this with a stick, can you? Look over Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. There are a lot of blood in the Old Testament shed. You remember that time I preached that sermon? I don't know if you remember it or not. But I really got Tom Taylor was here preaching one time about the blood and got me on a study trek. I got to really thinking about something. He mentioned all the blood shed when Solomon's temple was dedicated. It was an amazing number of animals. So you know what I did? I called a veterinarian, and I got how much a sheep, blood in a sheep, and how much is in an ox. And I found out how many oxen and sheep there were, and most of all, I got that blood. And I did it two ways. I put that blood in big tank trucks, but I also put it in barrels. I even called the transportation department to see how many barrels you can get and how much that weighed on a truck. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I don't remember exactly. I got it written down somewhere, but I'll tell you what. My friend, the bloodshed on Solomon's temple, there'd have been a whole line of trucks. If it had been in tanks, it'd been a lot of trucks. Or if it had been flatbed trucks with 55-gallon drums, it'd been a lot of blood. There's a lot of bloodshed. Let me say this. Not one drop of that blood washed away one sin. But, my friend, every drop reminds us of the blood that would affect you. We don't need to get tired of that. In the Old Testament, they got tired of that probably. They had morning sacrifices. They had evening sacrifices. They had peace offerings. They had sin offerings. All the time they were killing animals all the time. That must have smelled like blood all the time. My friend, that was designed for every blood of every animal in the Old Testament. We're pointing to the precious blood that was effectual. We'll celebrate this afternoon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That what you white. All right. So Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, by his own blood, he entered into the holy place. Get this. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. All right, Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us, get that loved us now before the world again, and washed us from our sins, his own blood. That's the love story. I've got to go redeem my bride. The Father gave me a bride. The bride fell into sin. I had to go redeem that bride so I could take her to myself. And he did that, my friend. What a love story. The Son of God died for his bride to make her a beautiful bride indeed. All right. Now, he talked about Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel's veins. Let's look at Emmanuel a minute. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. Emmanuel's veins. The God-man. Jesus Christ. The God-man, the mystery we cannot fathom, unfathomable mystery. But my friend, he was God and man. One person, two natures, not two people. One person, two natures. What the theologians call, they love big words, the hypostatic union. They say that because it sounds pretty good. It is good, but we can't figure it out totally, can we? He was a God-man. So, let's look over there, prophesied. Over in the Old Testament. Talk about the New Testament. Look over in Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being translated, God with us. Isn't that something? My friend, what was happening then when Jesus Christ was walking around the face of this earth, going by the Sea of Galilee, going to Judea, going to different places, he was God with us. They didn't recognize that, did they? Some people did. Simeon did, didn't he? When he was first born, when he came to the temple. Anna the prophetess did. But my friend, those religious leaders didn't. You know why Jesus Christ died? His charge? His charge was blasphemy. You know what he was blaspheming? They said blasphemy. He just admitted who he was. I'm the Son of the Blessed. I'm the Messiah. I am the God-man. And they said, you heard his blasphemy. What need we have further witnesses? My friend, what fools they were. They had no insight whatsoever. They're not born again. Do you have eyes to see him? The world right now, my friend, could care less about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation cares not very much about Jesus Christ. We flaunt his laws. We think of the impunity and not the impunity. We think they are. How about you? Are you willing to stand for him? Are you willing to let your light so shine? Are we willing to give up things that we have to? Maybe you lose our job sometime. Maybe you suffer persecution to the very death like some martyrs have. Are we ashamed of him? Let's not be ashamed of him. Let's stand up, my friend, and we'll do this afternoon at a church. We're preaching that in this service. That's really what this is, a preaching service, the Lord's Supper is. But my friend, even your daily life, are you willing to stand up for him and follow him? I love that song. I've been singing it a lot lately. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. I'll go with him all the way. Are we willing to do that? However, that last verse I like even the best, though. It says, he will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will go with me. He'll go with me all the way. We go with him. We say we're going all the way. Sometimes we falter, but he does not falter, friend. He goes all the way. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Do you want to follow him? Come follow me, he said. He told the disciples that. He's asking you that today. Jehovah Ghost is talking to you today through the word of God. Come follow me. How closely are you following him? I want to follow him better myself. I hope the older I get, the more I follow him. That's what I hope. That's what I want to do. That all gives us goosebumps. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, that blood shall never lose its power. It'll never lose its power. I'm going to read you something old J.C. Ryle wrote. This is pretty short. I'm not a good reader. My wife doesn't like me to read. And not long ago, Jimmy Fulmer told me, he said, you shouldn't have read this. You should have talked about it. So my wife wins. But I'm going to read this anyway. It's real short. This is J.C. Ryle. What was the secret of their victory? What was the secret of your victory? Their faith. They believed on Jesus, and believing were made strong. It'll make you strong too. They believed on Jesus, and believing were held up in all their battles, and you will be too. They kept their eyes on Jesus. That's what and he never left them nor forsook them. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and so may you. And he's right, but you will too overcome, my friend, this world by the blood of his blood, the word of your testimony. And they love not their life to end. I believe that the time comes we'll be willing to die a martyr's death. You say, Brother Zach, I can't do that. You don't need that kind of grace yet. I can't face death. You're not facing death yet. But I'm going to guarantee you, my friend, by the word of God, when your time comes to die, he'll be there for you. You'll have dying grace. I told you this story before, but I want to tell it again. Sister Peggy Penna, remember the church at Raleigh. She got cancer. She got really bad off in a spiritual way. I told Sister Peggy, I said, Peggy, I guarantee you, when you come to die, you will have dying grace. I got there when she died, but she sent word. You tell Brother Zach he was right. When I needed it, I had it. And my friend, if you have to undergo persecution, God will give you that grace. The martyrs were no better than you are. The martyrs were weak just like you are. They're sinners like we are. But God Almighty gave them what they needed. But my friend, he'll give us what we need to be strong in this age in which we live. We will be strong, O Lord, in the power of his might. All right. John 1:7-9. I'm just reading stuff. 1 John, I'm just reading a few scriptures. I hope it will be something to you. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, are you going to walk in the light? I've been thinking about light a lot lately, by the way. I was taking a shower the other day, and God just put a sermon on my heart. I got to develop it about light. This world lies in darkness. The only way to go is the light of the Lord. How are you walking? My friend, our country is walking in darkness. Many families are walking in darkness. What brings about divorce? Darkness. What brings about besetting sins? Darkness. What brings about wrong thinking? Darkness, my friends. Light is the word of God. Psalm 119, the entrance of our word giveth light. So he said in 1 John 1:7, I want to ask you, are you doing that? If not, get on it. If we walk in the light, that means being obedient to him. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means us and Jesus Christ. And in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son cleanses us from all sin. That's in our consciences. He's talking to believers there. He's talking to people he assumed are children of God. He's not talking about getting born again. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, the same blood we're talking about today, cleanses us from all sin. Go take you a good spiritual shower. Here's your spiritual shower. I give you the formula on it. 1 John 1:9, you know it. We quote it all the time. Everybody does. That knows the Bible very well. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love to take a shower, especially when I've been working and I don't smell too good. I don't feel too good. It's great to take a shower. Take you some spiritual showers. If we confess our sins, how long has it been since you have had a session where you really got down to business and confessed sin? We sang that wonderful song today. So pity, Lord, O Lord, forgive. Get out and sing that song to God Almighty. Quote Psalm 51 to God Almighty. Confess our sins. Get back in fellowship with him if you're not in close fellowship. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I'm going to read you some verses for a minute from scriptures. This is another song in our book. I won't read the whole song, but I love this verse. Worldly pleasures, what's my dream? Tempted by their gloss. We're tempted by the gloss. Let's admit it. We are. That's just us. We're sinners. We've got to fight that. Worldly pleasures, what's my dream? Tempted by their gloss, till I saw the scarlet stream dripping from the cross. How long had it been? She's already seen that scarlet stream dripping from the cross. It'll cure you of worldly mindedness. I got kind of amused the other day. Noah got me to listen to something or read something. Pretty interesting stuff. This guy worth $80 billion. $80 billion. I got to think about that. This is kind of funny now. I know you couldn't have $1 billion. How's that being possible, wouldn't it? You couldn't put enough money to build $10 million. 20, but if you could, he could build a big old billion-dollar house and have $79 billion left over from pocket change, couldn't he? What kind of car can you buy for $1 billion? You couldn't buy a car for $1 billion. You couldn't put that much money in. Isn't that something? But here we have to get thinking. My friend, I wonder if he had the true riches. God says God had chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom of God. That's what I want to be. Rich in, don't you know you're rich in grace? We're rich. You love the Jesus Christ, you're rich. You're a child of the King. You got all the resources you need. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's a rich God. He's always been generous, hasn't he? God's always been generous. He's not a skin flint. But in the Garden of Eden, he even told Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Only one tree that wasn't supposed to eat. He's not a stingy God. And the thing about it is, the spiritual blessings are more important than the natural blessings. I love material blessings. I like to have a little material security. But my brethren, the most important than that are the things that are, you can't take the material stuff with you. That guy made 80 billion. I hope he knows the Lord. If he doesn't, he won't take a penny with him. In fact, if he doesn't use it right, it'll be a witness against him, eat his flesh as it were fire, according to James. You have the true riches. Treasure them. Thank God for them. Well, I've told this so many times. I know y'all get, I hope you'll get tired of these stories. That same dear old brother Cooper, that talked about God's washing machine. Isn't it amazing I can remember some things old Cook preached back, he'd been gone a long time. He said, you know, he used to live a pretty rough life. He was over in Texas. He was a roughneck, good-looking old guy, just a colorful individual. He used to go to saloons, fight, drink, carry on. He had about, just loved that kind of life. God gloriously saved him, made a preacher out of him. One time they had some church trouble. He got disgusted. He shouldn't have done it. He said, well, heck with it. I'm going back into the world. He goes to one of those saloons out there in Texas that he used to go to. He sat at this table. He tells the story. He can retell it. They set a bottle of whiskey down there in a glass. He poured some whiskey in that glass. He got to his lips. He said, suddenly I saw a bleeding lamb. And I put that glass down. I didn't take a drink of that. And I walked out of that place. Brethren, may God bless us to see the bleeding lamb. If sin had a temptation, it will. But there are pleasures of sin for a season. But only for a season. And Moses forsook those. He suffered rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It's only for a season. You know, last night we went down to Texas de Brazil, so I can't preach a sermon on gluttony for a while. But I tell you what, this is St. Patrick's Day. You talk about partying. You talk about partying. Well, they're having fun. Some of them might have been innocent, but a lot of it wasn't. That old pub hopping, you know, going from one bar to another. My friend, that will come to an end someday. This worldly pleasure. Only God people have solid joys and lasting pleasures. Only Zion children know. You're not getting cheated out of anything when you don't live for God Almighty. Instead of drunkenness, enjoy the Holy Ghost. That's where you get your real kicks from, my friend. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't lose serving God. That's the true joy, my precious friends. All right, now, I want to read a couple of songs. I'll be through here in a minute. I love old Fanny Crosby. Daniel, she was blind just like you are, buddy. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You really thrill me, Daniel. Your testimony, talking to you. I love you so much. Someday, the first, you know, Daniel, you kind of got an edge on us. We can see some stuff now, Renee. You can't, but I'll tell you, the first thing you're going to see is Jesus Christ face to face, buddy. Hallelujah! You talking about some holler? He do some holler, won't he? Listen to what old Fanny Crosby wrote. I won't read the whole song. I'll read a few verses. Redeem, how long to proclaim it? Redeem the blood of the Lamb. Redeem through infinite mercy. His child forever I am. I'll read the course only one time. Redeem, redeem, redeem the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem his child forever I am. Redeem, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rector can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Now this is my favorite verse. I want to live this way. I want to live this way. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing. I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Let me read that again. Let's live that way. Lord, help me live that way. Please, God. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Now, I've got another song I'm going to read, a few verses, not the whole thing. I got to read to do this. Y'all better pay attention. I'm going to quit before you think I am. This is a song, I don't think it's in our book, but I'm going to read you a few verses. Beneath the sacred throne of God, beneath the sacred throne of God, I saw a river rise. The streams were peace and parting blood descending from the skies. Angelic minds can never explore this deep, unfathomable sea. 'Tis void of bottom, brim ashore, and lost in deity. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know the depth, the length, the breadth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? That wonderful song about, I won't try to quote it because I'll probably mess it up, that last verse of the song, the love of God. Can we eat the ocean filled? Were all the sky parchment made? Every man on earth a scribe, every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's not hyperbole, that's the truth. Man, I stood amazed and wondered when or why this ocean rose that wealth salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. Now this verse, I'm going to quit with this verse. I'm going to quit the sermon here too. That sacred flood from Jesus' veins was free to take away a Mary or Manasseh stains or sins more vile than they. Let's talk about Mary and Manasseh stains a little bit. Okay, Mary Magdalene, that loved the Lord so much, she's the one who washed his feet with her tears, dried with her hair. She was at the tomb when all the men were not there. My friend, she loved him so much, but this woman had been a great sinner, and God Almighty had saved her. And God's word says, when you've been forgiven much, you love much. How much do you think God's forgiven you? A lot? Well, then that'll make you love him more. If you're halfway serving him, you don't think he'll forgive you very much. So we need to see our sins. Then we can appreciate what God's done for us the most. So with Mary Magdalene, I just mentioned her without turning there. Out of her, God cast out seven devils. I don't know what kind of woman she was. I have no idea. But she must have been pretty bad. But God saved Mary. Let's talk about Manasseh. I won't tell you where it is. If you come to see me after church, there's four or five places in the Old Testament talk about Manasseh. It's almost, well, it just blows my mind out of the water. God, you can't save a guy like that. You can't save a guy like that, God. That's what we'd say. Manasseh, my friend, read about him. A king of Israel, 55 years. I can't believe what he did. He shed blood, all kind of innocent blood. All kind of innocent blood. His own children, he had them burned in the fire to a false god. His own kids. He brought my friend idols into the temple. Right there, that sacred temple that God had. Idolatry. It's incredible what he did. How can God save a man like that? What have you been guilty of? But here's what happened. Finally, God caused them to go into captivity. They broke him away in chains and took him to Babylon. And there God got a hold of him. He cried out to God. You know what God did? You don't believe this. You didn't know the Bible. Brother, God restored him to his kingship. Isn't that amazing? Read the Bible and see really what all he did. I'm describing it to an extent. You say, I've sinned so much, God can't forgive me. My friend, God can forgive all kinds of sins. He did Manasseh. Read about that. Now, there were consequences because he always will be able to sin. His son who succeeded him led him back into idolatry again. But brother, when Manasseh got right with God, he tore down those temples. He changed his whole way of life. So this song right says, a Mary's or Manasseh stains or sins more vile than they. And then finally, that last verse of the song. Let me read that last verse. And then I'll wheel me through. A fountain filled with blood. This is the truth. This is where we'll be. Now get this now. Yo, I enjoy the song service at the Great Chapel. I enjoy them. It's a great joy to come here and worship God and hear you sing with all your heart and your voices. But this here says, when this poor lisping tongue lies stammering in the grave, lies silent in the When this poor lisping, stammering, till I silent in the grave, then in a noble Twitter song, I'll sing thy power to save. You talk about some singing now, we get to glory. There's going to be some singing to glory. Listen. Well, I don't know what to say. Exuberance. Joy. Unspeakable, full of glory. See, we have that even now. Let me read that. I'll be here in a minute. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, I haven't seen him yet, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. So I haven't even seen him yet. But I've seen by my faith. Well, what's going to be, but we all have another song we love, Faith to Faith with Christ my Savior. When we see him face to face, what will we do? Yes, we'll sing a noble sweeter song. God bless you, friends, that a fountain filled with blood from Emmanuel's veins, sinners plunged beneath that flood with all their guilty stains. Hallelujah.